Well, I try to take good care of myself. I'm important. So I exercise every day, eat the right foods, and twice a year, I get cleaned by American Rug Laundry. It's a good life.
Honey, it's raining. I'm so disappointed. I got all the seeds for the garden I was ready to plant.
That's all right. There's enough dirt in the carpet to plant a row of corn around the sofa.
Oh, Earl.
American Rug Laundry. Professional carpet cleaners.
Since 1895, bucko.
La-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. For a free in-home estimate for carpet, drapery, or furniture cleaning, you call American Rug Laundry. Professional cleaner since 1895, bucko. You give them a call at 721-3331 or look them up in the white pages, the American Rug Laundry. Let's continue and take this call next, please. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Eldridge, I think you did right by having this man on tonight, this Steve Martin.
Steve Martin's, yes.
I'm not impressed at all. I don't know why people are so upset, because he's no threat. There's no threat to America, to the white people or anybody.
And well, we're certainly not a threat to white people.
They're not. You're no threat. You don't even impress me. I'm white, and I don't think...
In other words, he just doesn't impress you. Doesn't turn you on at all. Doesn't frighten you a bit.
And I'm glad he said it was the communists protesting outside, because him, the Nazis and the communists, they can just go on battling between themselves. And I hope the Americans will keep out of it. Isn't that right, Mr. Eldridge?
I kind of tend to agree with you, all right?
Yeah, so he won't amount to much. He should really go back to school and get an education and get out
What's
of the factory.
What's your education, ma'am?
And get out of the factory. What are you doing in the factory?
I'm working for a living.
Well, why don't you get a good education so you wouldn't have to work so hard?
Why do you say I don't have a good education?
Well, anybody working in the factory don't
Well, not necessarily.
But well, you're saying workers are stupid? Are you saying workers are dumb?
No,
they don't
but
have good educations?
Why do
are you defaming the working people? Are you a working person?
I didn't say they were stupid. The ones that don't have education work hard in the factory. A white collar.
Oh, I see. All factory workers don't have good educations and they're stupid.
Well, all work you don't have because you're just wanting.
What's your educational background, ma'am?
All you're trying to do
is... What's your educational background?
You want your...
What's your educational background?
College, yes.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, and I'm white. I'm white like Mr. Eldridge, only my hair isn't gray. It's blonde.
Well, good.
Yes.
All right, good luck to you, and we'll, you know, watch our hair together. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Bob, excuse me if I sound like I have a thick tongue. I took a sleeping pill.
I see.
Before this all started. I've had death and grief in my family this
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, that's okay. That's not what I call it about. I just want to explain. You say this gentleman is... Gentleman? I'll take that back. He's what, 23 years old?
Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
I was in World War II. And the Germans were not throwing peanuts at me. I'm a WASP, by the way. Would I be accepted into your party?
Yeah, and white,
please speak
white,
up, I can't
yeah,
hear
white
you.
Anglo-Saxon Protestant. That's the term, WASP, yeah. Steve.
Yeah, but ask him.
Well, yeah, she'd be accepted in your party, would she not?
Yes, if you're white, yeah.
Anglo-Saxon?
Sure. As long as you're white and not Jewish, anybody can be in our party.
God forgive you. Yes, I am a WASP.
Well,
I'll be
okay,
proud.
We've established that fact. Now what?
Will you let me finish? I'd be proud to wear that yellow star.
Well, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and convert to Judaism if you want to.
I don't say convert, but I'd wear it. I was there in World War II.
Where? Where were you?
I was in Great Britain.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard of Dunkirk?
Yes, I've heard of Dunkirk. Have you ever heard of Dresden?
Never mind.
No. Have you ever heard of Dresden?
Wait, I'm
asking you a question.
Buster. Hold on.
No, I ain't going to hold on.
Now, let her speak her piece
okay,
now.
Right.
Go ahead. Now, this lady's referring to Dunkirk, and I'm sure that you remember Dunkirk. And go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. Was Dresden in 1939, 1940, 1941?
Dresden took place in the latter part of the war.
45.
I think he's referring to the 1945 fire raid on the city of Dresden.
You're damn too.
About 250,000 casualties, I believe.
Has that gentleman ever heard of Coventry?
That's
I'm
right.
sure that he has.
Don't
so,
man,
yeah.
Ask him, Bob. He's 23 years
yeah,
old.
He can,
I've got kids older
yeah.
than him.
Yeah, he can hear you. I'm trying to arrive at some
sorry.
Sort of a point between the two of you.
I'm sorry.
Now,
I'm
ma'am, what was your... I want to get back to your point about Dunkirk. What were you going to say about Dunkirk?
I lost a brother there.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that the German generals held back the panzers from... The British troops could have been completely wiped out at Dunkirk, but Hitler held back the generals from doing it.
Oh, brother.
Hitler did not want to fight Britain. That's why Rudolf Hess flew to Britain in 1941 to put an end to the war.
Sure, that's why he's in jail right now, isn't he?
That's right, because he wanted to stop the war, and the Jews didn't want the war stopped. They wanted Germany destroyed. The Jews were saying as early as in the 1930s, they were saying that Germany must be destroyed.
He flew to Britain against Hitler's orders.
Hitler didn't order him not to go to Germany, or Britain.
Hitler did not know that he was leaving.
That's right. He didn't know he was leaving. And have you ever had the pleasure of trying to dig a grandmother out of a bombed home?
No, I haven't.
You haven't lived, have you?
I've lived 23 years.
Oh, big deal.
Well, what's your point?
My point is you're a very, very foolish young man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what did Britain accomplish after World War II? What happened to Britain now? Why aren't you living in Britain?
Because I'm proud to say that I married a GI
mm-hmm.
who fought very darn hard for Britain and this country and all of Europe.
Mm-hmm. And what do we have in this country now in Europe?
Last year,
what do we have in this country now in Europe? You have 2 million Africans living in London.
I was there just... By the way, Bob, I'll call you about that later.
Sure.
I was there in May. Don't tell me about Britain. I was there in
mm-hmm.
May.
Good, I've been there, too.
For 6 weeks.
I've been there, too.
Yeah, I heard about the... who was it? The Ku Klux Klan, I guess. Both of you are alike.
No, we're not.
The head of him that was hiding all over Britain. But, young man, I tell you, you've got a lot to learn in this world.
No, I think you haven't learned anything.
Oh, dear God.
Okay, ma'am, I would wish that you'll have a pleasant evening for the rest of it, comparatively speaking. Apparently, you've had some personal difficulty there. I give my condolences.
Come on, Bob, you know me.
I know that's why I'm saying it very sincerely. I give you my condolences. I believe that you had death in the family.
That's okay, that's all
Fine.
Over with.
Okay.
But I just want this gentleman to know that he doesn't know what the devil he's talking about. And you know it too, don't you?
I certainly do. Thanks for calling. Gotta go.
You can save a lot of money right now by getting in on Park Furniture's annual clearance sale. This week, Park will remanufacture and reupholster your sofa and chairs at 20% off Park's regular low prices. That's 20% off both fabric and labor. That means Park will remanufacture your sofa or two chairs in Budget Saver fabrics, for example, for only $127. Get your share of the savings by calling Park now for a free home appointment. Call Park at 822-3157. But hurry, this will end soon.
Coming up 26 minutes past the midnight hour, TC Talk Line continues. The lines are full. Steve Martinson is here. We're talking about the American Nazi Party. Hello?
Bob.
Hello?
Bob.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to speak to Steve.
Yes, please. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. Steve.
Yeah?
You are an American, aren't you?
That's correct. I was born here. I didn't sneak over from Germany. I'm not a spy.
Well, I was just wondering. I'd like to know something. At what age do you start hating the Jews?
What age do you start hating the Jews?
Yeah.
Who?
You.
Did I?
No. Do you?
What age should a person start hating
no,
the
what,
Jews?
No, what age
what
were
age
you when you began hating the Jews? When did you begin hating the Jews?
Well, I don't really remember beginning. I didn't sit down with a little book and write down, today I'm starting to hate the Jews. I never really liked Jews. I didn't really hate them, though.
No. You're misunderstanding me. I said, at what age do you start hating the Jews and the Negroes?
You're asking me what age a person should start hating Jews and Negroes, right?
How little do they have to be before you start hating them?
Oh, what age do they have to be?
Right.
Oh, I see. Well, for one thing, we're not out just to hate Jews and hate blacks.
I've been listening to you for a couple of hours, and that's all you've been talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all we've been accused of. So we're looking out for white people. Now, as it so happens, when you look out for your own kind, sometimes you're not going to quite get along with those that are against you. And you can at that point, you can do either one of two things. You can give up or you can keep going. And we're going to keep going. No matter if we get accused of hating Jews or blacks or whatever.
I don't quite understand that. I don't think you're answering my question. Say that...
You're trying to say that we should start... There's a certain age where we should just... Okay, this little black, okay, he's 4. He's not old enough to hate. You got to wait till he's 5. Something like that, right?
Oh, I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about you.
Well, apparently, ma'am, I'm confused because, frankly, I haven't been able to follow you either. It's back and forth, and I'd like to know exactly what the point is. Can we get into something a little bit heavier than just this minor back and forth?
Well, I'm just wondering what he would do about an orphanage, where he would send those children.
What kind of children?
All colors. All
colors, I see.
Well, as I said before, all blacks will go back to Africa.
Oh, they will?
That's right.
Who's going to send them there?
Well, the white people in this country will.
Oh, they will.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know one that won't.
Mm-hmm. What if they don't want to go?
Well, we hope that they want to go.
What if they didn't want to go?
Well, they're going to go anyway.
What would you do then? Simply put them on a boat?
That's right. We're going
to put them on boats. Where would you send these American citizens?
To Africa.
Well, which country in Africa?
Whichever one that wants them.
I see.
You know, none of them want them. Well, they're going there anyway.
Well, I've said it before again, and I'll say it again, I suppose. Simply, what you're telling me simply does not impress me at all. It makes no sense whatsoever.
Fine.
I think the lady just heard that theme is coming up behind us. We will be back for the final 25-minute stretch of TC Talk Line. Friday evening, Saturday morning style, those lines stay full. Back following the news coming up next from WWTC at 12:30. Winds are calm and the temperature reading 70 degrees and the skies are clear. WWTC, Minneapolis and St. Paul, 12:30.
70 degrees in the Twin Cities. Good evening, I'm Ron Beckman, and this is July 15th. Our Metro forecast is calling for clear to partly cloudy this morning with a chance of an isolated thundershower. Clear to partly cloudy today through Sunday. Chance of a few brief showers or thunderstorms tonight into Sunday. Low this morning, low 60s. High today and Sunday, upper 80s. Lows tonight, mid-60s. The winds will be west to northwest, 10 to 15 miles per hour Saturday. Probability of measurable rain, 20% tonight. Minneapolis police report that 7 or 8 people were arrested during a minor riot Friday evening in front of our WWTC studios. About 25 demonstrators were protesting an appearance on TC Talk Line by Steve Martinson, a local Nazi organizer. When Martinson arrived at the studio shortly after 10 o'clock, violence erupted. Police broke up the demonstration and made the arrest. Some of the protesters identified themselves as members of the Progressive Labor Party, which they say is a militant communist organization. The administrator of the Federal Disaster Assistance Administration says the minimum on federal grants to disaster victims may be increased, but William Wilcox warns victims have to fight too much red tape to get any money at all. And Paul Newberg from Fargo has more on that story.
William Wilcox, administrator of the Federal Disaster Assistance Administration, and Senator Muriel Humphrey toured the tornado-ravaged Gary vicinity today. Wilcox says his office is working to lessen some of the paperwork.
We're trying the best we can to reduce that red tape, reduce the number of forms that disaster victims have to deal with. I'd be quick to concede there are right now just too many forms that disaster victims have to deal with, but we know it.
Wilcox says Congress and the White House are currently considering whether federal grants to disaster victims should be increased above the present $5,000 maximum. The administrator says the government has significantly reduced the time it takes to get a regional disaster declaration to the president's desk. Mrs. Humphrey told newsmen she's amazed at the people's spirit in and around Gary.
What we saw was a tremendous amount of neighborly cooperative helping one another, which is the best thing that can happen.
Senator Humphrey says she'd be willing to introduce legislation to improve the federal disaster program. Paul Newberg for WWTC News, Fargo.
70 degrees in the Twin Cities. Officials at the Martin County Law Enforcement Center in Fairmont say five funnel clouds were sighted in the southern Minnesota County this evening with two tornado touchdowns. No damage was reported in Minnesota, but across the border near Estherville, Iowa, a building was damaged. Officials also said a soybean field was damaged in northern Iowa. The Minnesota Department of Economic Security says that persons whose earnings have been interrupted as a result of natural disasters must file claims for disaster unemployment assistance by August 11th. Farmers and others who are self-employed may be eligible for benefits if they were unable to work because of recent floods or tornadoes. And the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources says a research firm has concluded that development of a major peat mining operation on the Red Lake Indian Reservation may harm the environment and be opposed by area residents. The study was done by the Walter Butler Company and was commissioned by the DNR as part of a $1.25 million study of a state policy for peat use. The Minnesota Supreme Court today ruled that an insurance policy requiring physical contact between a hit-and-run vehicle and an insured vehicle as a condition of uninsured motorist coverage is invalid. The court affirmed a Norman County District ruling and rejected an appeal by the State Farm Mutual Insurance Company that hit-and-run can only mean some form of physical contact. The Otter Tail County Sheriff's Office says one person was killed this afternoon when a small single-engine plane crashed and burned north of Fergus Falls Airport. The identity of the victim has not been released. Eyewitness Mark Peterson said the plane crashed in his cornfield about 3:30 this afternoon. Peterson says the plane struck the ground, bounced about 200 feet, and then burst into flames. The Baltimore Orioles defeated the Minnesota Twins 5-1 Friday night in Baltimore as Twins slugger Rod Carew drew within one hit of the 2,000-hit career mark. A forecast once again, clear to partly cloudy this morning with a chance of an isolated thunder shower. Clear to partly cloudy today through Sunday. Chance of a few brief showers or thunderstorms tonight into Sunday. Lows this morning, low 60s. Highs today and Sunday, upper 80s. Lows tonight, mid 60s. The winds will be west to northwest, 10 to 15 miles per hour on Saturday. That's today. Probability of measurable rain, 20% tonight. Currently 70 degrees. I'm Ron Beckman, WWTC News Radio.
This is WWTC, Minneapolis and St. Paul. Next final 25 minutes of TC Talk Line coming along. You will listen. That is an order. On the other hand, there are those nights when you sit here and you're lucky to get any calls at all, so I better count my blessings. The lines have been absolutely packed since about 10 o'clock, and all sorts of things are happening during the news breakout. Some of our reporters and other people around the station peer out of the windows and downstairs, and somebody just came in and said, "Boy, you should see the traffic pattern going on outside on 2nd Avenue in front of the station." I said, "What's happening?" Apparently a lot of cars out there, and they're driving slowly, and of course they're looking at some of the debris, which is still in evidence in front of the building, left from the, what was the name of that other funny party?
Progressive Labor Party.
Progressive Labor Party. And they're the ones, somebody called me a day or two ago and tried to give me a very hard time. I should not allow you to be on the air. And I imagine that you've heard that before. I should not allow you to be on the air. And then they went with some other things and started calling me a capitalist creep. And I said, "Well, frankly, that's just not the way I run the show, and please go to..." And that was it, and went on to other things. But they were there, about 15, 20, 25 people, and apparently they were fairly hostile.
That's correct.
Who'd you get the most problem from, the protesters or possibly the Minneapolis police?
No, the protesters. No, the protesters. Police just tried to move in and break things up.
Yeah. I talked to some of the police well before you arrived on the scene, identified myself. I said, "I don't know what this gentleman looks like, but he's going to be trying to get in the front door, and if you could be of any assistance," and apparently they were. Okay, a lot of things I could bring up. I'm not going to necessarily at this point in time. Let's move ahead and start taking some of those calls. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to talk to a guest. I had a question about, according to the Nazi Party, they want to send all the blacks back to Africa. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, you said it was unfortunate that whites or missionaries or whatever are colonizing these other countries. Isn't that what you said previously?
I said it was unfortunate that whites have seen fit to go across to other countries and use non-whites to do their own work.
Okay, now, and you said you'd send Indians back to the reservations. You're trying to make an American all-white country, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, but see, we were a colony to begin with. Why didn't we send us back to Northern Europe? Isn't that where we came from?
Well, the white man built this country, and it's going to stay white.
You're saying that just because we built it?
That's right, it's ours.
Even though we colonized it to begin with.
Well, who's we?
We're all white people.
Well, America is no longer a colony. So it's an independent country. The majority here is white. It's not like we have a situation in Africa where you have a minority of whites who rule over a majority of non-whites. We have a majority of whites.
Okay, there's another question. I want to go back on that genetic difference. What, basically, besides, you know, black skin and all, what really is there a difference?
Behavior. Blacks behave, well, I don't know how much you know about blacks or how much experience you've had of them, but they behave, generally speaking, quite differently from whites.
Well, granted, they're a different culture, but who says a different culture is superior? I mean, what?
Well, okay, let's look at Africa. Look at Africa. Okay, you have a native black culture, native black cultures there. And what kind of achievements have they got? They still practice cannibalism in certain parts. They just recently butchered 200 or so white people. They're killing missionaries left and right. They have no big cities to speak of, no great works or anything.
On the other hand, what have you got, say, let's just say the German culture, what do you have there? Bach, Beethoven, Brahms?
Correct.
What does that prove? Simply that these people have got a sense of the rhythm.
No, you're just picking musicians out. I'm not just talking about musicians. I'm talking about buildings, cities, streets, the ability to organize and hold together a society.
Well, who's to say our culture is superior?
Who's to say?
Yeah.
Well, it just is.
Well, I don't...
Would you like to live in Africa? Let me ask you, are you white?
Yes, I'm Norwegian and German, just
good.
Like you.
Okay. Would you like to live in Africa under Idi Amin?
No, but I wouldn't want to live in Germany under Hitler either.
He said no. Would you like to have lived in, say, in Hitler's Germany?
I wouldn't find anything wrong with that.
But, you know, it's a foolish question on my part, I'm supposed to ask. Wouldn't it bother you a bit?
No.
Actually, the things that you're spouting, it really doesn't bother you, Steve, that Hitler did what he did.
What did he do?
Well, in the first place, he was responsible for at least maybe 20, 25 million deaths.
No.
All sorts of people.
No, we're going back to that old thing about the extermination camps and starting the war and everything else.
Well, I just want to say...
It simply didn't happen in your mind.
No, it didn't happen the way you say it does.
I see.
You seem to get your facts just out of the people you want to get them from. You don't seem to have an open mind.
No, I don't. Well, why don't you read something like The Hoax of the 20th Century by Arthur Butts?
Yeah, but see, you're just grabbing a single author and single, you know, why don't you have
an open mind and read what the general consensus is? Mr. Allard has a list there of different authors.
Yeah, all sorts of people, including Henry Ford, who wrote something way back in the 1920s.
And the International Red Cross.
Henry Ford, I want to see how sharp you are. Henry Ford did recant that book that he wrote.
He came under a lot of pressure from
He finally said, I've been wrong. You know, I've been had.
Well, he either had the choice of doing that or probably losing all his money and his foundation and everything else.
Well, you're picking one instance, and you're just, I don't know.
You don't know what?
Well, you're always picking certain instances, and then if he refutes himself, then you're making an excuse for it. You're not giving a reason, you're giving excuses.
All right, what's your point now?
Well, I'm just saying, okay, he said something about Henry Ford made this statement, and then you're saying that he rescinded that statement because of pressure.
Certainly.
He had pressure
from Jews.
A lot of
other people have done the same thing. They've come out and spoken against Jews, and a little while later, the Jew starts working on their pocketbook, and they take back what they said.
You're blaming everything back on the Jews. How do you know the Jews control the newspapers?
They don't control the newspapers. I'll tell you what. You go look at a lot of the reporters for the Minneapolis Star and so forth. One example I'll give you,
reporters for the Minneapolis Star?
Yeah.
I see.
A former contributing editor of the Minneapolis Tribune, Jerry Joseph. Mm-hmm. She's a nice Jewish girl, the wife of Burton Joseph, mm-hmm. who is the national head of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, an organization which is sworn to destroy ours. Just very recently, to give you an idea of what kind of power the Jews have, she was appointed ambassador to the Netherlands. First, they weren't going to appoint her because her husband, Bert, has a lot of grain dealings and so forth in Holland. And they didn't think that would be, I hate to use the word kosher, to do something like that. But they went ahead and did it anyway. So that's just another example of how much power the Jews have in the press and the government and so forth.
Well, all I can get is from out of you is all I've heard all night. It's just excuses and no
reason. See, you have your mind made up about what you think. You see, you have your mind made up, too. Well, of course I do, because I know I'm right. I've seen both sides of the issue, sir. Have you? Have you ever read Mein Kampf, cover to cover?
No, I have not.
Okay, why don't you try doing that? Have you read White Power by George Lincoln Rockwell, the book?
Well, I'm sure if I...
No, you have not. You have not. Why don't you read those things, read some of our literature, and I'm sure you've read the other side, and then you make up your mind. But don't just read the Jewish side of the thing and then make your... statements on that. I know both sides of the issue.
All right, sir, I got to go along at that point. Right. Incidentally, if you're going to ask me those questions, yes, I have read Mein Kampf. I have read excerpts of White Power.
Excerpts.
I thought both of them were junk, and that's about it. So, I mean, that's my opinion, such as it is. Be back right after this.
This is WWTC Program Director Robert Berglund. Radio has a news quality that no other medium has been able to provide. Immediacy. We can't show you the news, and we can't spend tomorrow delving into every conceivable angle of yesterday's news. What we can do best is get you the news fast. Being first is very important to us at News Radio, and I'm proud to say we usually are first in reporting the big stories of the day. Listeners help us immeasurably in that effort through our news tip line. A lot of radio stations don't believe in the concept of news tips from listeners, but we do. Some of our best stories have come from listeners who saw news happening and called us. And each week, we award a $25 savings account to someone as thanks for helping us report news first. When we add you, the listener, our staff becomes almost limitless. WWTC News Radio, the Twin Cities' most important radio station.
Coming up to 12:45, the lines stay full. We're about 15 minutes away from the 1 o'clock NBC News, and then on to Larry King. For the moment, Steve Martinson, Minneapolis representative of the National Socialist White People's Party, commonly known as the American Nazi Party, is in our studio. Live lobster, select seafoods, anything that swims in the North Atlantic. I'm describing what you get at the New England Lobster House near Lindale and 494. Now, I better point out at this point that the New England Lobster House is not a restaurant, but it's the place to go for live lobster at about $3.50 a pound. A full selection of fresh flounder, sea perch, haddock, crabs, scallops, just to name a few. The New England Lobster House operates its own boats, flies in fresh North Atlantic seafood almost daily, and that means simply that the New England Lobster House offers you more and sells for a good deal less. All sorts of things that you can pick up and take home and enjoy at a budget price at the New England Lobster House. Frankly, just going down there is fun. The visit is fun because there's a certain fascination, I suppose, in stepping up to a big tank that might hold upwards of 2,000 pounds of live swimming around type lobsters. You pick out a couple that look kind of good, take them home, and enjoy the rest. Oh, by the way, convenient hours. They're open until 6, Tuesday through Friday. They're open until 5, Saturday afternoons. In other words, you've got just about all day tomorrow to go down to the New England Lobster House. And here's how to get there. Simply go south on Lindale to West 79th and turn right. The New England Lobster House is just about 250 yards over to your left. Let's move ahead. Those lines stay full. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've got one question. When the party was formed back in Minneapolis in 1976, there was a guy named Rubel, and he was picked up on a burglary charge. Whatever happened to him?
Well, the charge was dropped to a lesser thing.
Was he ever sent to jail?
No, he was not sent to jail.
What's he doing now?
Well, see, he's still active with the party. He's working.
All right, that's all I want to know.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you very much. Let's move ahead and take this call waiting a while. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, sir.
I have a question for Mr. Martinson.
Right.
What do you base our, well,
what do you see? How do you see our moral standards as being based on? What do you think? What do you think that our moral standards in this country, or our moral, the moral aspects of our law, our constitution, are based on? In your estimation,
what they started out as?
Yeah, and I guess in that respect, yeah.
White and Christian, I would have to say.
White and Christian?
Yes.
Okay, what is the Christian ethic based on?
Was it on Christianity, on the teachings of Jesus Christ?
Okay. You know what Jesus taught from?
Where he taught from?
Yeah, everything that he taught, all the scripture that he used, every reference that he made, you know what reference to scripture that he used?
To the Old Testament.
Right. You know who the Old Testament was given to?
To the chosen race, wasn't it?
That's right, to the Jews.
Yeah.
The law was given to Moses from God. And that's the word that was given in the Old Testament. That's the word that's given in the New Testament. In fact, all the main writers of the New Testament were Jews too. Paul, Peter, James, Jude, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Writer of Hebrews.
You know, some people might disagree with you as to
that's
the
one thing
Jewishness
that I want to take
Jesus.
Up with you. That's one thing I want to argue about right there. What is the basis for your argument that some people don't believe that Jesus was Jewish? See, it says in the Bible in numerous places that Jesus is the King of the Jews.
Well, if you have to remember that Jesus was not one of the Pharisees. He was not one of the in-group there.
Oh, that's true. Jesus was not a Pharisee, nor was he a Sadducee, nor was he one of the Essenes, or whatever the other group is. I can't remember the name of the other group. He was not a member of their party, and that's part of the reason why they had persecution for him. They didn't like him because he was not in their group.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not to say he is not Jewish.
Well, you know, he called it, he went to the temple with a whip and called them a generation of vipers, so, you know.
Who was he calling that to?
The Jews.
No, man, he was saying that to the people that were selling doves, the people that were making a buck off the poor.
Jews, right. Exactly.
Pardon me?
The same kind of things they're doing now.
Man, what I am saying is that you have no argument whatsoever. There is no coherence, there is no logic to your argument that Jesus was not Jewish.
Well,
he was raised in a kosher home.
What I was saying before is that there are people that believe he was not a Jew. I really, personally, I really don't care.
Well, why don't you?
Why don't I care? Because I'm concerned with race now. This is what our party's concerned with, race, not religion and things like
that. Okay, but now we're going to get back to the beginning of what I started talking about here. The whole race question, you're talking about equality, or you're talking about a standard for white people to maintain their own and all that, right? You're talking, in effect, a moral issue of the fact that it's our right to maintain, you know, as white people, not to get wiped out, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? This moral standard, if it's not based on something substantial, if it's just drawn out of thin air, it's worthless. If it's based on something,
well, that's
okay,
your opinion, it's worthless.
What?
That's your opinion, it's worthless.
Hey, I'm just talking about biblical ethic, okay?
You're talking about the Bible. I'm not here to talk about the Bible, all
I'm
right?
I'm talking about the biblical ethic that is part of the fiber of our country, the way it was built to begin with. I'm not talking about religion right now. I'm talking about...
Well, you're talking about the biblical ethic. What do you call that?
I'm talking about the way what this country was built on. You know, it's obvious that I'm not going to get through to you, and...
That's right, you're not going to get through...
Bob, I got a comment, you know, before I go.
Yeah,
I got
quickly.
A comment that I'd like to make to you, Bob.
Sure.
You have exemplify extreme humanity tonight. I just really find it fantastic. You've had so many opportunities to just drill this guy.
Well, you know that I wouldn't do that. I would try to be soft and easy at all times. Matter of fact, maybe I can even, in my genteel manner... persuade Mr. Steve Martinson to go off on a different course, at least professionally. He does not have a bad voice. You'll notice that.
Yeah, it's real
decent
good
enunciation.
Radio voice.
Now, maybe we could find some employment for him in the radio business somehow.
Yeah, we'll have a National Socialist radio
station. Now you could first have a National Socialist radio station. Who knows? You may need some sponsors.
You'll need lots.
And I'll tell you what, can I give him a little audition right now and have him simply try reading a commercial?
Yeah, that'd be a blast.
All right, simply to get away from politics and that sort of thing, sort of settle down and have him read a commercial. You suppose we can do that?
No, thank you, Mr.
You don't want to do that?
No, I'll decline on that one.
You'll decline on that one?
One track.
Okay, then I guess I'm going to have to read the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
All right, okay.
Yeah, it's your job.
Thank you very much for calling, sir. Nice to hear your voice and opinion. Okay, I guess I'll settle down and try to ply my trade and read a little commercial. Try this for your next get-together, your next party rally, your next picnic or bar mitzvah, wedding or shower. A Bernie's Party Tray. Ah, doesn't that sound good? A party tray from Bernie's Restaurant and Delicatessen. Wonderful food, nicely displayed. No work for you, and you'll love it all. Believe me, the cocktail tray for just $2.75 per serving includes, mind you, smoked oysters, minced ham, corned beef, the tailgate tray, and I kid you not, the tailgate tray is a complete meal. And the deluxe tray is a combination of the cocktail and the tailgate tray. Just give our friend Bernie's a call a day or so ahead of time, then pick up your tray at Bernie's Restaurant and Delicatessen, 4212 Westlake Street, St. Louis, Parco. A minimum of 6 servings for any tray order, and the servings are indeed generous, all the way from pickled herring to pastrami. A Bernie's Party Tray includes everything. Ideal for tailgate parties at the game or at home or whatever else you might have in mind. A party tray from Bernie's, 4212 Westlake Street, St. Louis Park.
This is WWTC Program Director Robert Berglund. Weekends are something special here at News Radio. It's a time for us to not just report the news of the day, but to get the fun stuff that happens on weekends. And we do. We have 27 sportscasts a day in our normal weekend program schedule, plus a lot of sports play-by-play. Ed Keen hosts 2.5 hours of sports talk on Saturday nights. In the newsroom, there's a little different tack to our regular emphasis. We often take the time to dig deeper into some of the bigger local stories of the week and look to stories that may be big in the week ahead. It's a time for softer news, interesting things. And the list of feature commentators on weekends is almost endless. Sundays, programs like Meet the Press, Reporters Roundup, Perspectives, Focus on Youth, Reports from the Mayors. I've just scratched the surface. We're good company on weekends. WWTC, the Twin Cities' most important radio station.
Let's move ahead. We're about 6 minutes away from sign-off, and this call is next. Hello? Hello?
My turn?
Yes, ma'am, you're on. Make sure that radio in the background is turned all the way down.
Okay. I'd like to say to the gentleman, nobody's a pure race. We'd be imbeciles if we were. Right, sir?
Nobody's a pure race?
No, yeah, that's right. I don't believe in not one human being.
You don't see any difference between a white person and a black person?
Well, if you had to trace your ancestors thousands of years ago, you'll find they have all colors.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, let's go into something that we don't do too often on radio. Steve, you want to roll up the sleeve of your left shirt there? You have a tattoo. How would you describe that, too, of which you're probably...
It's a Viking.
It's a Viking. I mean, it's beautifully done in a multitude of colors. It's a permanent tattoo. It shows the Viking complete with headgear, complete with fighting regalia, complete with the straps and the shoes and so forth, and a huge axe, or whatever you call it. You happen to be Norwegian, right?
Norwegian and German.
In other words, going back a certain number of generations, you probably had some of those uncouth, barely civilized Vikings in your background,
well,
right? As did I, incidentally. You know, I mean, would you like to give control of the United States of America and all of its intelligence and so forth and all of the machinations of a society over to people such as the Vikings,
The Vikings don't exist anymore. Did you know that, Mr.
I said,
Allard?
Would you like to give it over to that type of person?
That type of person?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You mean a white person, Aryan person?
Yeah, a Viking. You know, pretty bloodthirsty.
Pretty bloodthirsty. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you...
But you must have some degree of admiration for the Vikings, otherwise why would you permanently, for a lifetime, have a rather complicated,
well,
complex
tattoo? Well, I've got a tattoo here, and I've got a tattoo.
Yeah,
and
I just happen to notice the one. What do you have in the other arm? I have no idea.
I'm not even going to talk.
Yeah, why don't we let her talk? I don't think she's interested
go ahead,
in
ma'am.
Tattoos.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. Even that mean man in Africa, he's about 95% black.
He looks all black to me.
Well, he's got some other races in him, too.
Oh, do you know that
like
for a fact?
I.
How do you know?
Because I don't believe anyone is a pure race. No,
well, okay, you don't
not
believe
even
that.
Animals.
You don't believe that.
That's
it's interesting. That's becoming a fact. The races are mingling a lot now, and that's
yes,
what we're trying to avoid.
Your generation is so more so.
That's this. I know. That's tragic.
Have you caught the entire program tonight, ma'am?
copybook.
Have you listened to the entire program tonight?
No, I didn't. I was out.
I see. Well, you should have been with us earlier. It's been fun all the way along, all 3 hours. I thank you very, very much for calling, too. Okay, we're about 4 minutes, a little bit less than that, from sign-off. And Steve Martinson, you've been a good guest tonight. Not necessarily the most cooperative in terms of giving us concise answers. If I ask you the number of people in your party, the number of people that you might have here in the Twin Cities,
that was
your rules and so forth. Okay, I'm going to let you sit back in the next couple of minutes without too much interruption. Do you want to wind things up as to the aims, the intents of the Nazi party, and take it beyond that? Say whatever you wish to say.
All right. The basic goal of our party in America is to make this country an all-white country, to ensure the survival of the white race, because that survival is threatened. We are not out to kill off all the blacks. We are not out to kill all the Jews. We're not out to kill all the non-whites. That is not true. There's all kinds of left-wing groups who say that we're out to commit genocide, but that's not true. We're looking out for the interests of white people. And we are doing this not through armed revolution, but we plan to take power through the ballot box.
Quick question. What indicates to you, Steve Martinson, that people take you seriously?
The number of votes we've gotten in some of our elections.
Such as where?
In Milwaukee, we had about 5,000 votes for mayor. In a school board election, we ran two women.
5,000 votes for mayor?
There are people voting
that?
For swastikas. Keep that in mind, Mr. Allen. They're voting for a swastika.
Oh, we're in Milwaukee, you say?
Milwaukee.
Well, you find some strange people, possibly, for strange racial reasons in Milwaukee who might go that direction.
Well, let's take San Francisco.
Heavily German.
Let's take San Francisco. Almost 9,000 people voted for a man for school board there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, and I'll get back to Milwaukee, because we had ran two women for school board, and one of them missed getting his seat by only 300 votes.
I see. All right, Steve Martinson has been here. And a final little note, for those who might want to contact you, would you mind giving out a phone number?
All right. We can be reached at the number of 521-0249.
521-0249.
Correct.
Post office box?
P.O. Box is 552 Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55440.
All right, and I hope that you felt that the last 3 hours was conducted in a fairly fair and reasonable manner.
Thank you, Mr. Allard.
Steve Martinson has been here, Minneapolis representative of the National Socialist White People's Party, commonly known as the American Nazi Party. We'll undoubtedly have some interesting spillover conversation on tonight's show, on tomorrow night's show, or technically the Saturday evening edition. If things go well, we'll be back about 9:05 this Saturday evening until 1 o'clock Sunday morning for our ride on TC Talk Line. As it looks from here, it should be an open evening. And so Steve Martinson and company are now exiting the studio, carrying, respectively, a huge red flag and a huge yellow flag, apparently wrestled away from the Progressive Workers Party or some such, the group that was parading in front of the WWTC studios just a few hours ago. It's been fun, one of those interesting evenings. We will see you tonight, 9:05. Right here on WWTC, Minneapolis and St. Paul. The winds are calm. It's 70 degrees, 1 in the morning. Sleep well.
NBC Radio News. This is Don Blair. Is Peking softening its hardline policy toward Taiwan? A group of American congressmen who just completed a trip to China think so. Here's the story from Mike Chinoy in Hong Kong.
At a press conference here, the delegation leader, New York Democrat Lester Wolf, said senior Chinese officials had raised the possibility of discussions with the Taiwanese on several occasions. He said the Chinese noted they had cooperated with the nationalists in the past and might be prepared to do so again. Wolf said the congressmen were told China's basic condition for normalizing Sino-American relations, that Washington break its ties with Taipei, had not changed. But he said China has adopted a more realistic attitude towards the issue, as evidenced by its apparent willingness to talk directly with the Taiwanese. Mike Chinoy, NBC News, Hong Kong.
And we'll have more news after this.
Are you going to pull a boat or trailer?
A car with a hitch is a car that should switch to Cargo Coil.
When you pull a boat or trailer, does it pull you down?
A car with a hitch is a car that should switch to Cargo Coil.
Cargo Coil from Moog Automotive. The uncomplicated way to solve sagging and dragging problems for cars, vans, or light trucks. They're coil springs, but with a unique design that causes them to respond to different loads and roads, reduce sag, and provide a comfortable ride, loaded or unloaded. Nothing to adjust. It just happens automatically with Moog Cargo Coils. They're economical and maintenance-free.
A car with a hitch is a car that should switch to Cargo Coil. Cargo Coil.
Cargo Coils from Moog. Ask for them wherever cars are serviced.
The Western Economic Summit in Bonn, West Germany, does not start until Sunday. Today, President Carter will be speaking to American troops stationed in the Frankfurt area and conducting a question-and-answer town meeting type of discussion with about 1,000 West Berliners. Last night, at a state dinner in his honor, Mr. Carter stressed the U.S. commitment to its European allies.
We are prepared to deter war in Europe and to defend all Allied territory as strongly and as deeply committed as we defend the territory of the United States itself.
And twice yesterday, President Carter deplored the trials of dissidents in the Soviet Union and the harsh sentences handed down there. Mr. Carter accused the Soviets of violating the Helsinki Accord on Human Rights, which the Russians themselves signed. A strike by firemen in Louisville, Kentucky lasted 13 hours but ended late Friday when union leaders ordered the 600 firefighters back to work and the union prepared to resume contract negotiations with the city. While police in Cleveland, Ohio took their strike to 19 hours, but it ended when a local judge issued a temporary restraining order against the city's firing of 13 cops, the act which precipitated the walkout. The 13 had refused to walk one-man patrols in high-crime neighborhoods. But a strike goes on in Philadelphia, where about 20,000 municipal employees are off their jobs. You're listening to NBC News.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? If so, note this toll-free number, 800-528-6050. You're invited to telephone Vantage Press, a leading New York subsidy publisher, for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. Just call this toll-free number, 800-528-6050. This brochure explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. The number is 800-528-6050. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, dial 800, then 528-6050. The phone call is free. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Just dial 800, then 528-6050.
Happiness in Seattle, deep disappointment in Europe, because United Airlines has just given Boeing Corporation the biggest order in commercial